Come on, let us show you things. God has ordered us to show you these things, Muhammad. We have to take you on up to station number 3. And when he got up there, he saw the prophet who enlightened the world as to language, writing, the prophet of the scribes. Did you know that God missioned more than people of faith and spirit? Muhammad, did you know that God also missioned the leader of the scribes? Meet your brother. We missed one. On the third level, it wasn't him. It was Yusuf, Joseph. But at the fourth level, he met the leader of the scribes. Say, meet your brother Idris. And he met his brother Idris. Assalamu alaikum, ahuya Idris. Peace be unto you, my brother Idris. And Idris replied to the prophet, as all the others did, wa alaikum assalam, ya Rasulullah. Oh, messenger of God. Yeah. And he went on up to the fifth plane. So did you think the minister that God assigned to Moses was a despicable man? Did you think he flirted with the idolaters? Meet Brother Aaron. Assalamu alaikum, Bakuya El Harun. Peace be unto you, my brother Harun, Aaron. Do you think that Moses was not permitted to go into the paradise? Do you think that he was held out of the promised land because he had killed a man in Egypt? Greet your brother Moses, Muhammad, the messenger of God. He said, Assalamu alaikum, ahuya Musa. Peace be unto you, my brother Musa, Moses. And he was taken on up to the highest heaven. There he met the father of the faith, Prophet Abraham, said, greet your father, Abraham. And he said, Assalamu alaikum, Abi Ibrahim. Peace be unto you, my father, Ibrahim. What do we get from this? Here were men at different stations of the heavens. And here is a prophet being taken to every station. And then lastly, after visiting all the stations, Hayya al-Salat! He said, a call was made that the prophet should come to prayer. And all the prophets from the different stations gathered together in prayer. And Prophet Muhammad went ahead of them, and he led them in prayer. Each one of them represents a natural development in human original nature. A natural development. In human original nature, and a development that God had himself inscribed into our growth pattern. But Prophet Muhammad was himself a unique person in the prophethood. What is his unique place? He doesn't represent a step in human development. He represents what Jesus is a sign of. Reconciliation. Reconciliation. Once God has ordered human growth as it should be ordered, and the tempter has broken that order and separated what God had made together and put some of us in one spiritual bag and others in a material bag, some in a rational bag, some in a Gnostic bag, some in some other bag, then Prophet Muhammad was sent to bring the clear light of understanding back so that the heavens will be ordered and reconciled with the earth once more. So God said to the heavens and the earth, come you together. That's what he said in Prophet Muhammad. He said to the heavens and the earth, come you together. And through Prophet Muhammad, they are brought together. Balance, agreement, reconciliation. He is the prophet of revelation. The others are the prophets of development. Let us understand that. All the other prophets lead up to Prophet Muhammad. Development leads up to revelation. Once the society is developed properly, then the revelation is manifest. But first, that natural chain of development must be completed. And the one who completes that chain is the one who comes with revelation. So we think of the prophets in earlier days as prophets of the revelation. Those were prophets of the development. And they were coming pointing to the prophet of revelation. The prophet of revelation, he comes to reveal the order that has been established. God has ordained a certain order to be established. He has preordained, pardon me, that a certain order be established. Those prophets came one behind the other to establish that order. Then he promised that one day he would show himself to the people. The hope of the Jews was that God would show himself to them. The hope of the Christians is that God would show himself to them. The hope of the Muslim is to see the face of God. Oh, yes. What does this mean? That you're going to behold a limited model, a limited structure, that you will identify as the Almighty Being? No, indeed. It simply means that you are going to see with your own good rational senses the thing you've only been able to feel with your spiritual sense. You're going to see with your own mind's eye the thing you were only able to sense with the eye of your soul. It means that we are going to see the plan of God. We are going to see the plan of God. We are going to see and know for sure, with clear vision, with rational sense, what is the plan of God. What has God planned for me? What did he plan for my wife? What did he plan for mom and dad? What has he planned for my children? What has God planned for my social life? What has God planned for my political life? What did he plan for my spiritual life? What has God planned for my economical life? What has God planned for this world? Men have cried to see what God wants for us. I know what exists from what God wants. And the promise this early time has been, one day you shall see your God with your own eyes. Not that you see your God as a physical being or as any spiritual entity, but that you see your God's plan for your life and the life of society. So the revelation comes from heaven, from Almighty God, to Prophet Muhammad, showing us that none of these prophets betrayed their trust, that none of these prophets were liars, that none of these prophets were whoremongers, that none of these prophets were thieves, that no prophet plotted to kill his general who was faithful to him, that no prophet went out and stole something that didn't belong to him, that no prophet taught out of one side of his mouth truth and righteousness, and out of the other side of his mouth, thieving and moral corruption. That all of these prophets didn't betray their God, but they remained faithful to him. That God is a God that knows the end of things and also the beginning, and that he never pick anyone unless he's worthy. Yes, this is the truth. So the prophets' life are cleared up. They are cleared of the false charges that were made against them. False charges that appear right now, that are right now on the pages of the Bible. Prophets accused of doing things that you and me won't do. Melchizedek is enough in our life to stop us from doing the things that some of those prophets are charged with doing in the Bible. Since I was a child, Melchizedek has been speaking to me, and I wanted to do a lot of things that I knew were wrong. and have done a lot of those things. But I've never thought in my heart to tell anybody that God justified the wrong that I did. Why? Because Melchizedek rises up in me. And Melchizedek say, don't lie on God, Wallace. Lie on yourself. Lie on somebody else. But the last thing you do, Wallace, don't ever do that. Don't lie on God. I didn't need a Moses to tell me that. Christ didn't have to come to tell me not to lie on God. Melchizedek speaks in me. Melchizedek says, don't lie on God. If you go to that extreme, Wallace, there's no return. So I've done things outside of the law of the religion. But I've never come to you and say, this is a natural weakness. It's okay. No. If I have to confess it to you, I'll confess it as a sin. And I'll tell you that I'm not a prophet. I'm not representative of God. I am a weakling. I went astray. I did wrong. Yes. I'll tell you to follow me in my good example and leave me when you see me straying. We should think about these things. Go and search the Bible. And see how many prophets keep their clean robes on. Most of them get dirty robes. As they live, their robes get dirty and dirty. Pretty soon their robes are so dirty until we don't even like to call them our brother. Which one of you will look up to a prophet who will take his innocent general that have been truthful and faithful to him after seeing that he has a beautiful wife that appeals to your love? Then you take that faithful general and send him out in a battlefront that you know is impossible for him to survive. He gets killed in the battle, and you take his wife. How many of you good Christians, good Muslims, can do such a thing? You're not prophets. The Bible says Prophet David did that. How many of you can punish prostitutes and then go out in the night, sneak out on your little wheel? I think this particular so-called prophet I have in mind now, he went out on a donkey, a little mule or something. But you know, you don't have those. You go out on your little wheels until you find something looking lustful in the street and commit the very act that you've been punishing other people for committing. You've been stoning. You've been ordering people to stone the prostitute. Stone the one who lay with the prostitute. Then you go out yourself and get you a prostitute under the cover of darkness. Don't you know even Jesus himself is putting a bad image in the Bible? He's accused of telling his people to be freeloaders, to lay on the society as freeloaders. So look at that old raven bird. He doesn't work. He's still fed. He's clothed. And he does nothing for God. He's the most despicable bird of all birds. Does nothing constructive at all. And look at it, how he's clothed and fed, taken care of. Said, don't lay up any treasures. Think not how you're going to make it tomorrow. Just go on. Go and preach to the people. Go to the city and preach to the people. If they are not hospitable, if they don't offer you something, when you leave them, knock the dust of their city off of you.
say it's going to be worse for them than it was for people in Sodom.
And Gomorrah.
Because they didn't give you no food, but your lazy no work itself. They didn't share their food with you, didn't share their lodging with you, didn't offer you a cloak to wear. Knock the dust of that city off. And don't worry, it's going to be hotter for them than it was for the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. Isn't that a terrible way to raise ministers in the church? Telling them, oh, don't worry about how you're going to live. Don't get no job. Don't go out and fish. Catch a sucker. You'll find in his mouth two pieces of silver. I think that's what it says. Two pieces. One for you and one for me. Mind you now, I know there is a true interpretation locked up in this false surface language. But what is grabbing you? Is it the true interpretation or is it the false surface language? Which one are you reading? Are you reading the true hidden interpretation? Tell me yes, and I'll tell you a lie. And I'll prove it by your own Bible. It says, seal it. Even in Revelation, it's sealed. In Daniel, it's sealed. In Ezekiel, it's sealed. Even in the last book called Revelation, it's sealed. But a prophecy is made that there's coming someone in the last day who's going to take up that little small book and he's going to break the seven seals. And when he began reading, a voice was going to come out finally and say, it's done. It's all over. Ain't no fooling the people no more. It's done. Yes, that's me, brother. You're right. That's right. Never before in the history of Christianity, in the history of Judaism and Christianity, never before have the full truth been told on the Bible. Not until today and not until my ministry. It has been coming gradually as a growing light. Much of it came, pardon me, with others before me. But now the whole package is coming into focus. For the first time,